Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you, I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Yeah. your intention. What you see is birthed from within. What are you setting forth? How are you living your life? How are you showing up? Well, how is your life reflecting itself back to you? It's okay, you know. What you see, you're creating it. That's Cynthia James. CynthiaJames.net is her website address to find out more about Cynthia James. And yes, it's a new day. Today is January 22nd, 2013. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first, and then tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, where change is inspired, and you make the difference that is necessary. That's what we're about. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. I am your host, the Nutty Professor. So you're responsible for everything that you hear. And let me be responsible for everything that I say. And you are responsible for whatever comes up for you. And we have Swami Beyondananda in the house, so he's going to be something. So if you can't handle something, you got to get yourself and go do something else, because we're just going to let it rip. Yes, yes, yes. New days. We got some announcements. I got some things percolating in my mind. And so I think I'm just going to bring on, oh, there's two numbers on here that ends with 1-8. Sometimes, I don't know if Celeste has noticed this, there are times where the numbers end, there's a lot of numbers that end with 6, or the last two numbers are the same. Right now, we have two numbers ending, actually interesting, ending with 1-8. Things that make you go, Celeste, how are you doing, my friend? I trust and hope you are ready. And if not, the light is on. Act like you're ready. Can you imagine doing something in the dark, right? And think it's just you, and suddenly someone tells you, like, hey, just act like you're ready.
Well, that's the fun of working with you. You always keep me on my toes, keeps me flexible and nimble. I appreciate that, Life Coach Day.
You know, when you're flexible, you get to hang with God, you get to dance with God. You know, when you're rigid, you just get bent out of shape and upset and just frazzled and, like, have to go see a chiropractor and all of that. You don't need to do that. You just need to flow like water. So anyway.
Indeed. And just listen to you. That's all we need to do, and everything will be fine. So, yes, I do have your announcements right now. Hello to everybody on the phone lines and in the chat room. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Nutty Professor, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday from 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach a Day and our guests can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1. Now, if you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach a Day fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or you can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Also, you can email Life Coach Today any time of the day, and he will answer your questions on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. The theme for the month of January is Release Your Inner Splendor. And we have wonderful guests coming up that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo to give us some fresh thoughts on freedom. We also have Reverend Deborah Johnson stopping by for a quick visit from Inner Light Ministries. She's going to be telling us about the Creating Change Conference. You definitely want to be here to find out more info. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Ambassa Safair for the play experience. Have you purposefully loved and appreciated you? If not, take a trip on the playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today is on the last Wednesday of every month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today. Also, be sure to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we go more in-depth with numerology, medicine cards, and tarot. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is also syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu, then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. We thank you in advance for your financial blessings. Now that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste Morgan. I appreciate you. And, you know, we're going to unwind today. We're just going to relax. Sometimes we get too serious about spirituality. We get too emotional. We get too attached. We just wouldn't let it hang out.
Well, you don't usually do that, Life Coach Today?
No, I don't. I get very serious. I don't like to laugh too much. I think it's just against my religion to laugh. I mean, come on now. Life is too serious.
Let me step away from you before lightning strikes. All right. Have a good show, Life Coach Today. See you later.
All right, bye. yes, it's all about laughter today. Laughing while your mouth is wide open and you swallow some truth. And speaking of laughter, I think I'm going to do this. I was just thinking, I thought I've lost this audio, but I found it. And do you guys, some of you are new, so you may not know this, but the old-time listeners would know this. This is when I was punked on my own show. I mean, can you believe that I'm punked on my own show? That's just nuts. But it was fun. It was cute. But anyway, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Yep, press 1 on your keypad. And, yeah, we're taking your calls. Maybe you want to ask Swami some questions about things that you're dealing with or how to handle particular issues. He is very happy to give you a laughsitive. There you go. So speaking of, let's go to what I was going to play with when I got pumped. Wow, that's a long time. Oh, my God, really? July 2011? Wow. All right, here's me being pumped on my own show. Let's take a call. 646 area code. What's your name and where you calling from?
God bless you.
Yes, thank you. And you too. God bless you too. Thank you for that.
You're changing the world.
Thank you. Ooh, you just hit me. You shut me up. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate
you've saved
that.
Lives, whether you know it or not.
Okay.
I am going to cry.
Wow.
And the fact that you're here with today is changing my life. Can I? I just want to say this is more than about your music.
Yeah.
I came out both because of my mother telling me she would disown me if I was gay, and a little bit of bullying both outside in the world and even with one of the staff members here. I love you.
I love you too. What's your name?
You have changed so many millions of youths, gay youths' lives.
Wow.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What's your name?
You are a hero, a musical icon, a legend.
Wow.
I cried at the Monster Ball. 5 times I cried. I love you.
I love you too.
I am going to cry. When I hear your song, I think about the people who have been kicked out of their homes, who have thought about slitting their wrists.
Okay. when you talk about song, what song are you talking about?
I am.
Say that again?
I just want to say this is more than about your music.
Okay.
You've saved lives, whether you know it or not. God bless you.
I receive the words. I receive the truth, and I appreciate that. All right?
I love you.
Love you, too.
You are a hero, a musical icon, a legend.
Thank you.
You have changed so many millions of youths, gay youths' lives.
I'm a legend.
Oh, I got to breathe this one in. I got to breathe this in.
Right.
Thank you very much, because
I
received the truth.
Thank you.
The truth. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to play Abraham right now. Let's go to part 2 of the clip. And I received the truth. I received the love. I received the blessing. So, let's go to, if I could find it. Let's see right here.
I can't imagine what was in my mind. Yeah, it was more than hot. I was like, wait a minute, what the heck?
It can happen when you get out of your way.
Talking about,
and feel yourself.
I'm a legend
in
my music.
Now,
the music I play,
here,
I hate the part 2 of it.
I'm like, huh? So if anybody has an idea, you know, send me an email. Ask at lifecoachide.com. Because I've got... I don't know. Now, clearly she thinks I'm a singer. I don't sing. I may sing through my voice, my words, my service, what I do. But I think that was somebody else. I don't know. I'll read between the lines and accept the compliment, but anyway, I'm still like, huh? Anybody has a thought? I don't know, because I'm musical legend, musical icon. I think it's a universal trick.
Yeah, I know that's right. I've been punked on my own show. That's just funny. Actually, I think there was a part 2 or more to that clip. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But anyway, yeah, because later we found out that it was a recording. Because I was thinking, what? You're a musical legend. Your music is changing the world. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was thinking, okay, maybe the songs that I'm playing. But boy, when I found out, I was in stitches. But that was a good, I got punked on my own show. That was like 2011, July 19th. I bet Celeste's adding numbers up. And but yeah, we got some more laughter. We got some other things to share with you. And so don't mess with me. I'm a musical legend. I'm changing the world. I'm changing the lives of gay youth lives, or whatever she said, or he said. Yes, welcome, beautiful people. Cheryl is in the house. Hey, Laurie, baby sis. It's so nice to see you. Hey, Ade. Be love. Hey, Glenda, how are you doing? Celeste's in the house. Swami is in the house. Swami Beyond Ananda. He's in the house, the cosmic comic. Let me get it ready. And I think I'm going to do this. Let's see. Do I want to do it? I don't know. I want to get the best of it. I think now there's another clip I want to play for you, but I won't play it now. Play it later. And I was just getting ready to just let it all hang out and, we'll see what happens. Let's see. I want to play a song, and then when we come back, we're going to bring on Swami Beyondananda. We get to find out how we can all lighten up, and you get to decide what kind of mystic are you as I bring him on the air. to float with me. What song do we want to play? Let's take a breath. Let's take a holy breath. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Thank you. I love it when spirit just gives me. When I ask, it just comes. Let's go to Michael Bernard Beckwith. We're going on an adventure in paradise. And just paradise, we want to just remind you, relax. Stop tripping. It's not that deep. Laugh a little. Wake up. Wake up. Take a breath. Take a holy breath. This is Michael Bernard Beckwith. Adventures in Paradise. Go ahead, Glenda. Do your thing. Let's do this. 347-426-3346. Call in with your questions, your thoughts. The wise one is in the house.
As we're lifted up into the spiritual domain, we begin to see a little bit differently. There's a broadcast going on. This broadcast comes from within you. There's a song singing within you. There is something within you that wants to express. There is something within you that wants to come forward. You are anointed and appointed by the Spirit as an image and likeness of divine and ultimate reality. As we bank in that domain, we bring heaven to earth as a spiritual practice. Wake up and say to yourself, I'm taking an adventure in paradise. And guess what? I'm taking you with me. I'm activating my spiritual stimulus package. I'm taking an adventure in paradise.
Your stimulus package begins with an awareness that you're sourced and fueled and funded by a renewable resource which is within you. It never runs out. It is your essence. It's your life. Your divine spiritual stimulus package is activating the gifts of divinity within you. But you may express them. You will express them beyond your wildest imagination. And joy, joy breaks out all over. It's the real source. Feel it in your bones. Take a holy breath and say to yourself, I'm taking an adventure in paradise. Guess what? I'm taking you with me. I'm activating my spiritual stimulus package. I'm taking an adventure in paradise.
In order to have this stimulus package,
stop looking outside for help. Become still and listen. Listen with that inner ear. Life is everywhere. Joy is everywhere. Love is everywhere. Why don't we see that?
I'm a legend. I'm changing lives. Yes, yes, yes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. The Naughty Professor is in the house and the Swami is in the house. So you know you are in trouble. You know you are in trouble. We're going to activate all that stuff and help you release, relax, and let go and relate and resource yourself. Michael Bernard Beckwith, Adventure in Paradise. To find out more about Michael Bernard Beckwith, you know his virtual home. It is agapelive.com, agape, L-I-V-E. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to bring on, let me read a little bit about my guest, Swami Beyondananda, a.k.a. Steve Berriman. He's an internationally known author, humorist, and workshop leader. For the past 23 years, he has written and performed as Swami Beyondananda, the cosmic comic. As the Swami, Steve is the author of Driving Your Own Karma. Some people run from it, but you got to drive it. And also, when you see a sacred cow, milk it for all it's worth. I know that's right. Let's go to India. And then we have Duck Soup. I can't even read it without laughing. Duck Soup for the Soul. He's also the author of Swami for President. A seven-step plan to heal the body politic and cure erectile dysfunction. Yeah, you can't say that too fast. His latest book, Steve's latest book, it was written with Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution, Our Positive Future, and a Way to Get There from Here. And as you know, those of you who have been listening to Life Conversations Radio for a while, we interviewed Bruce Lipton in December. And what a show that was. Oh, my God. It's full of fires and sparks. And so, you know, if Steve and Bruce are collaborating, this is the other part of the fire. And to find out more about the Swami, Swami Beyondananda, is Wake Up Laughing. Wake Up Laughing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome the cosmic comic, Swami Beyondananda. Hello, Swami. How are you doing?
Wonderful. I love that reception. That was great. You pronounced my name perfectly. It kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Beyondananda.
Yes, it does. Beyondananda. It's all about bliss and so much more. How are you doing today, Swami?
Oh, my higher plane has just picked me up and dropped me off, so I'm right here, wherever you are, in infinite reality. And you know, I'll tell you something. You know, we have no choice. We are always here, aren't we? Because no matter where we are, here we are, wherever we are, and it's always now. So it's great to be with you in the here and now. And if people hear this recording, it'll be simply hearing it at a later here and now.
That's right. We're always now. Now, I got I got some things I want to ask you, but I must ask you this question because I got millions of emails to ask you this question first before I ask you anything else or before I go deep into the conversation. And the question is, who are you? Who is Swami Beyondananda?
Well, it depends on what you look at. If you look at the story behind Swami Beyondananda, I am a cosmic comic. I am here to activate the planetary clown chakra to raise the laugh force to such an extent that finally we all get the joke. We hear the creator laughing because as a fundamentalist with the accent on fun, I say that life is a joke. But God is laughing with us, not at us. So that is my mission. That's what I'm here to do, to activate the planetary laugh force and heal the hole in the boson layer.
Boson layer. I know that's right.
The clown chakra, that's right.
Swami has a twin, or maybe Swami is just living two lives in one because he wants to get all this past life then all over. So what's Swami's relationship with Steve? How'd they get along? How'd they work together?
Well, you know, we are occupying the same body. You know, in these economic times, we definitely want to double up. Because let me tell you something. I think, you know, people are talking about the planetary footprint. What is the biggest problem that we face as a civilization, as a world? You know what that problem is? Extraterrestrials. We've got way too many terrestrials, and we don't need any extra. So I read about this guy who has 10 personalities. Listen to this. I said, wow, 10 personalities all in one body. Now that is efficiency. If we had more people like that, we'd need fewer people.
Indeed.
So
indeed.
I've doubled with Steve, and he's available at any time. He's very modest, and if you call for him, he will be here at the ready. to explain the whole thing to you if you like.
Well, we want to talk to Steve later, but what I want to know is we're prepared to bring him on later on. Do we need to do a special chat to bring him on? I mean, is he listening to this conversation, or is he out doing whatever he's doing?
No, he's very present. Now, usually there's a chant to bring me on, which is Swami, how I love you, my dear old Swami. So when people chant that, I automatically appear. But no, there's no chant that is required. Although I'm sure that there's probably, you know, something like bum ba bum ba bum ramalama ding dong dip 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 boogity boogity shoot. That could work too. Remember those old chants, don't you?
Yes. So let's see if I can catch up. Let's see. So well, you know, you talk about waking up and laughing. I mean, there's so much going on, so much polarization, so much just issues. Issues in the tissue. How the hell are we supposed to wake up and laugh in these days?
Well, I think that is a very, very good question. And people say, well, how can you look at the political situation out there and laugh? And I say, well, it's very simple. If your eyes are open, you recognize that there's definitely something funny going on. And so, right? And so when we, laughter is the great way to deal with the darkness, because we enlighten the darkness with the power of laughter. Levity helps us rise above the situation and see from a higher perspective, because so many times in the wake of the ha-ha, there is an aha. There is an awakening. There is something that we see that's different, because the design of humor is to trick the mind. I'll give you an example. Somebody asked me not too long ago, Swami, how do you feel about wild game preserves? And I said, you know what? I think they would taste terrible. I'd stick with strawberry, you know? So you see, the mind wants to go in a linear direction. And what the power of humor does is it takes you and it derails your normal track of thought. So that all of a sudden you have new possibilities. And in case anybody out there who has noticed, we could use some new possibilities, because the old probabilities are really not working. They're pointing us in the wrong direction. But I know you mentioned Bruce Lipton earlier, and the Spontaneous Evolution book talks about a great evolutionary upwising, where we wake up and wise up and recognize that we are all in this together and have to think and act like a species.
Indeed. But you know, you talk about laughter, and we've heard the statement, laughter is good medicine. And sometimes some people struggle to laugh because they think so much is going on in their lives. They there's too much challenges, and they're not where they want to be. What can we do individually to kind of activate the laughter, and how can we use laughter to heal ourselves?
Very good question. I want to tell you a story. Perhaps people have heard the story about Norman Cousins. He was a writer about 40 or 45 years ago. He was diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. He checked into a hotel room with Marx Brothers movies and Candid Camera rerun videos, and he got well. And when he cured himself, the medical establishment decided that they are going to study the healing power of laughter. And that's kind of like, well, it works in practice, but does it work in theory? Yes. And so that's the best advice for you. Yes. And so actually what happened was, when they studied the physiology of laughter, they found that when we laugh, it creates these hormones that are called endorphins that are natural painkillers. Laughing improves immune function, and laughter lowers the blood pressure. Because when we laugh, it causes our blood vessels to dilate, and that, of course, is better than having them die early. I want mine to die late. I don't know about you.
And that's right.
Yeah, we're all with that. So it's a choice that we have. It's a choice. You know, they say that the average child laughs 150 times a day, and the average adult laughs really just a few times a day. Many people are suffering from what we call irregular hilarity. You know, they don't laugh enough, which can lead to something called humeroids, which is a big problem. That is an enlargement of the onus, where you feel so much responsibility that the only thing you're ever able to pass is heavy judgments. No. And so what I recommend is wake up laughing. The first thing that you do in the morning is look in the mirror. And if that doesn't make you laugh, then you have a real problem. If you find that you're not laughing at yourself looking at the mirror, pretend you're looking at somebody else and it would be hilarious.
No,
now, what
right.
It moves the laugh force through your body. Now, here's something very, very interesting. There's a wonderful book, perhaps you've seen it. It's called Happy for No Reason.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen that book? Marcy Shimoff,
yeah.
Happy for No Reason. She
yeah.
talks about the physiology of laughter and happiness. And what she says is, when you turn your corners of your mouth upward in a smile, whether you like it or not, it actually changes your body chemistry for the better. So a lot of people out there, many people who are listening, who have good hearts, who want the world to be a better place, they say, Swami, how can I uplift the world? And you look at their faces, and their faces are kind of like in a frown. I said, listen, if you want to uplift humanity, you must begin with your own face. So when you
face right.
yourself, if you face yourself in the morning, allow the corners of your mouth to lift up in a smile, and this is called the levitational pull, pulling you upward. Because I'll tell you something, gravity, it's a downer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a downer. The gravity is going to bring you down. So focus on the levity and not the gravity. And I'll tell you something, if you put yourself in a smile, whether you feel it or not, what will happen is that your body will think that you're happy, and it will produce happiness hormones that will make you happy in spite of yourself for that situation. One of the great things that laughing does is it gives us separation from our situation. It allows us to be the observer, and look at what silly fools we are. I call this achieving fool realization. Yes? When you fully realize that you're a fool, you laugh at yourself. This is called self-facing laughter. And that is really what can change your perspective. And it will certainly, if laughing and smiling doesn't improve your own life, it will certainly improve the lives of the people around you. I'll tell you that.
Indeed. If you're just laughing with us and just joining us, my guest is Swami Beyondananda, a.k.a. Steve Behrman. And we're talking about laughter. We're dropping a little, refilling your prescription, because you got to refill your prescription. Some of you are just constipated. You're passing judgment, and you're ending up with hemorrhoids.
You're right on the program with that. That's good. You know what you need to prevent irregular hilarity is you need a good laugh sedative every day.
That's right.
Little
That's
joke.
Right.
Now, you know, they say, you know, it's just a little joke. A little joke. Did you know that humorologists have said that the laughter contained in one little one-liner about one youngerman of laughter is enough to heal up to a megahertz of emotional pain? Did you know that?
Hmm. No, I
it's
didn't,
not,
actually.
You know, people say, should the joke be short or long? I said, listen, it's not the size of the joke that matters. It's how much pleasure it gives, right?
I am not going to touch that one. Even though I'm used
I
to touching
you
stuff
for
like
not
that.
Touching that.
I'm not.
I'm with you on that. We're on the same team then, yes?
Yeah, we're one, but we're not that close, okay? I'm not touching that one.
Okay. Well, through the magic of radio, people have their imagination then.
They're free to stroke it and get their pleasure, but I'm not touching it. Okay, so here we go. Let's move on. So, Swami.
With you, moving on, please.
Yes, very swiftly. There's an email question here, which you spoke to, but let me read it to you. Swami, it says there was a – oh, do you know of the movie called Monster, Inc.?
What was it called? Mud?
Monsters, Inc. Monsters, M-O-S-T-E-R-S.
Oh, that was a great movie. Yes, that's very, very good movie. A great lesson, that movie. So go ahead. Tell
yes,
me what you
and the question is there were monsters who would scare children to get the energy they needed to fuel their city. Then they learned that by making the children laugh instead, that there were more power they could all share. Renee said, what do you think about this? What are your thoughts about this?
background. I think that that's very, very important because, again, there's so much out there that feeds on fear. You know, after 9/11, fear gnomes, little gnomes of gnawing fear, were released into the mainstream. And that, of course, made us susceptible to mad cowboy disease, right? So, not to mention deficit inattention disorder and truth decay. So what happens is when we give in to fear, it narrows our creativity. We see fewer possibilities. And so the thing to remember is that laughter, hearty laughter, you know, ha, 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 ah is the sound of the heart. Hearty laughter puts us in our hearts. And what it does is it takes us out of our heads. Now, in our heads is where we have these beliefs that keep us separate. And believe me, what people believe is unbelievable, right? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So something that's very, very important is that when we allow laughter to break up these thought particles that we have inside of our heads, we have the perspective of love. It opens up the heart. We leave the static of the head for the ecstatic of the heart. And the more we open our hearts, the less we're going to need to shrink our heads. So our choice all the time, through laughter, we can get to love. And our choice every moment of the day, as individuals, as communities, as a society, do we feed love or do we feed fear? And the good news is love is much more powerful than fear. Otherwise, we'd be saying all you need is fear, right?
All you need is fear.
Fear's you, yeah. See, we're not saying that, and that's a good thing. So we're on the right track, and all we need to do is remember more and more and more. Now, children is very, very interesting. If you surround your, if you put yourself around children and listen to the sound of their laughter, it's like a little tingling bell ringing. It's like a bell ringing. And that ringing bell is reminding us of our true nature. Now, we have many true natures. You know, are people good? Are people bad? The answer is absolutely. It's a matter of which choice we make and which energy we feed. And the perspective of laughter is something that's so powerful that it can change the energy. I'm going to tell you a true story. About 50 years ago, a little more than 50 years ago, there was something called the Cuban Missile Crisis, and this was the closest we as humans came to blowing ourselves up so far. And at the moment that this was going on, there had been some American and Soviet delegates who were meeting to discuss possible trade between the two countries. And when news of the missile crisis hit, everything stopped, and there was tremendous tension in the room. Finally, one of the Soviet delegates raised his hand and he said, "I suggest that we each go around and tell a joke." And he volunteered to start. Now, his joke was, "What's the difference between capitalism and communism?" And then he said, "In capitalism, man exploits man, and in communism, it's the other way around." And everybody just burst out laughing, because what this joke did is it deconstructed the mind. It deconstructed all of these isms, these ideological mental structures that keep us away from our true heart. And the laughter brought everybody back into the heart, and they were able to continue their business in peace and in happiness. That is the potential power of humor. To a healing like that, to bring people together, to blow apart the, you know, we don't need bombs bursting in air these days. We need beliefs bursting in air. We need the obsolete beliefs to be deconstructed, you know, to turn the funk into function and leave the junk at the junction.
I know, Swami, you play jokes on people when they're just sitting talking with you. You can tell if they're paying attention or not.
I can do that. Well, sometimes the jokes are actually time release and they laugh the next day. So it's okay.
That's right. It's like, I got it now.
That's time release. Now, of course, every now and then somebody will burst out laughing in the middle of my presentation, and I'll recognize, you know what? That must be a psychic laughing at the next joke. We're all on different time schedules here.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to throw some thoughts out to you. You know, you're a wise man. You've got deep wisdom. And I want to ask, because this is some of the things that my listeners struggle with.
Okay.
Why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we on this planet?
Well, you know what? I think it's very, very, very simple. It's a simple game. We know who we are. We're divine beings. Each of us is a fruit of divine destined for greatness. Yes, we know that we are divine beings. And so we decide to make an interesting game of it. And we hide our magnificence in this game. The goal of the game, and I think that we are going to achieve this, we call this manifest destiny. When we manifest our destiny as a humanity, is for every individual to have their light fully shining. And the enlightened ones call this fulfillment.
Okay, I think we can get there. I think we can get there.
Yeah.
Okay, so
well, you see, that's what laughter does. It puts us in our light bodies.
Okay, here's a thought. Let's talk about abundance.
Oh. Okay, well, I call it abundance. I call it abundance. Abundance, because I'll tell you something. Again, as I said, we have the love and fear. We have learned, we have been taught through our so-called civilization that there's not enough. And we have to be afraid to protect what we think is ours. This is called scarcity. The true nature of everything is abundance. That is where we get up off of our assets, move together and dance in rhythm and flow, and weave together a web of mass construction. See, the idea is that life is a dance. We have to face the music and dance together. Instead of dueling dualities, we are dynamic dance partners. And in this, yeah, you know, I mean, the universe has this figured out. Every year I do the State of the Universe address, and everything, every day is the same. The universe is purring in perfection, ever-changing, same as always. Everything is working. And yet, in our human existence, we seem to create problems when there are no problems. We make up these problems in order to have something to talk about, right?
We love drama. Now, we're talking about, you know, earlier, you talked about laughter, you know, connecting us with the heart. And I'm thinking of vulnerability, because I think of people sometimes who, they're just so serious that sometimes when you get close to them, you feel like you're walking into a force field. They're just so serious. What are your thoughts on vulnerability?
Well, you know, I see that laughter actually creates vulnerability. Now, if you think about it, in the world of comedy, where comedians go on stage and perform, they will come backstage and they will say sometimes, "I killed," or "I died." So what does that mean? Well, when we kill, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. When we kill, what are we killing? We're killing seriousness. We're killing the rigid parts of the mind. We're allowing things to fall apart. You know, there's many, many ironic things out there. And people, because we are living in such an insane world, people are suffering from irony deficiency. Now, seeing a doctor won't help, but seeing a paradox will. So what humor does, it pumps ironies. It takes these contradictions and makes them so exaggerated that we cannot help but notice them. Like, here's one, an oxymoron. Holy war in the Holy Land. That makes no sense, does it?
But no, it doesn't.
You know, comedy shows us the absurdity of what doesn't make any sense, that our serious minds have convinced us that that is how reality is. In Bruce Lipton's book, Biology of Belief, and in Spontaneous Evolution, what we talk about is the idea that so many of our beliefs about the way the universe works are simply misperceptions. And we, you know, we actually mistake reality for these beliefs. They're like water for birds and air for fish. Well, that's not right. Air for flying fish. wonderful mean bird.
Good thing I was paying attention.
Yeah, that's right. I'm checking to make sure I was paying attention. So, but anyway, so what happens with all of these things is that we don't really recognize that we are seeing and experiencing the world through the filters of our beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is in this process of breaking up seriousness, what we're doing is we're breaking up rigidified beliefs. We are showing a third way. You know, ever notice that jokes are always one, two, three? A minister, a priest, and a rabbi. So, a minister, a priest, and a rabbi are discussing their legacy. How do they want to be remembered? What do they want people saying when they're laying in their coffin about them? Huh? So the minister says, I want people to be saying he was a pillar of the community and a family man. The priest said, I want people to be saying he was a holy man and the leader of his flock. The rabbi said, I want people to be saying, look, I think he's breathing. You see?
I think he's breathing?
I think he's breathing. Okay. He's laying in the cup and look, I think he's breathing. So the point of this is that the linear and logical mind thinks it has the whole thing figured out. And as anybody who's been on the path will tell you, a sign that you're off track is when you think you have it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
What the joke does is it shows us a third way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seriously, why are people serious? Why is the world in such serious condition? Because we have come to the limit of this dueling duality system. We cannot hold this together with all you said polarization earlier. You know that even there's polarization? Poland. Yeah, you have the North Poles and the South Poles. They're polarized. But anyway, it's happening everywhere. And so what has to happen now is we have to leave these dueling dualities and recognize the integrated system where everything, where seemingly contradictory things can be true at the same time. And what better place is that than humor?
Yes.
Humor points out the third way, one, two, three, like that. And so that is why it is such a great tool for creativity. Many of the people who have humor, who are very serious and so on, many of these people, they actually are feeling that, they're so stuck in their rigid beliefs that they cannot see outside those beliefs. They cannot see it. So what's wonderful about humor is it lifts the veils. It lifts the veils on these hidden things and lets the light in. And when we're able to see the light, we laugh at our foolishness for believing the ridiculous nonsense that we believe.
Now, let me ask you a question about that, because as you're talking, I'm thinking of parents, or even people, particularly parents, that tell their kids, oh, you play too much. You got to be serious. I mean, we say to ourselves, too, as adults, like, you got to be serious and stay focused. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that playing is a job description for kids. What do you do for a living? I play. Because play allows us to create from nothing. You know, there's two words that really have the same letters. If you scramble them around, they're two different words. Reaction and creation. They are both the same word with letters moved around. Yes?
Wow. I never noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
So
I'm writing it down now.
So what happens is reaction, what we have with reaction is something out there is stimulated us, and we are simply responding to a stimulus outside. There's no creativity in that. It's like a knee-jerk reaction. I've said this often. The problem with knee-jerk reactions is that you often end up kneeing the wrong jerk, right? So anyway, creation is coming from the space of nothing. When children are playing, they don't have an agenda. It simply emerges. And so we have two different worldviews, one based on seriousness, one based on play. The worldview that's based on seriousness is called the state of emergency. The worldview based on play is called the state of emergence. see
mm-hmm.
emerge from this seriousness and see the amazing play of life in front of us.
Mm. Wow. Yes, I'm loving this. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. My guest is Swami Beyondananda, a.k.a. Steve Berman. We're going to bring Steve in later. Steve is kind of getting himself ready. He's meditating and getting focused.
He's in the bathroom. No, he's in the bathroom. It's okay. He is.
He's passing judgment? Is that what it is? Tell him to relax.
Big judgment.
Before we take a break, I want to ask you this, because we're talking about, you know, while we're here and relaxing and creating. One of the things that we hear a lot in the spiritual community when we're talking about knowing oneself, we talk about we got to identify what is reality and what isn't. We talk about consciousness. So, Swami, what is reality and what is consciousness?
Well, I have the simple, short answer to reality. Reality is reality TV without the TV.
So we all live in our own shows, huh?
Well, you know, I think that that's really what it is. I think that, there is the there's the reality behind the reality. Now, we've all said that, we've all heard this said by spiritual teachers for millennia that life is a dream. And so reality is the dreamer. The dreamer behind the dream. And as we recognize that we are always, every day, stepping out onto a field of dreams, and what we call reality, you know, what we read in the newspapers, what we see on TV and so on, this is a collective dream that we are all dreaming. And it's a dream that we are dreaming so that we learn the lessons of what it means to be separate. You cannot have compassion if all you know is love, because there's no contract. So this dream that we are dreaming is a dance between learning. We are learning the distinctions between what is love, what is not love, what is of the heart and what is not of the heart. And so the reality that we have created up until now has been an out-picturing of what it looks like when everyone is separate from their source. Mm. Now, me, I've been hitting the source for years, so, you know, I'm drunk on spirit, yes.
Okay, you can take that in so many directions. You've been hitting the source, okay, and keep creating. Go ahead.
So what happens is we have the choice every day. Yeah, how many people out there have experienced miracles in their lives? How many people have experienced synchronicity? And so what happens is when we get caught up in the drama, they've called it melodrama, but believe me, it's not mellow, is it? Right? It's merry-go-round that's not that merry. We keep finding ourselves on the wheel, on the wheel, on the wheel. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is when we have the perspective of laughter, it takes us into a different orbit, and we look at everything and we go, my God, I was so foolish to believe that. And for that instant, when enlightenment strikes, we feel that shaft of light in our hearts, and it beats the other kind of shaft that people feel often. So that's the power of it. And so in this reality, we are learning to dance with contrast. We're learning to shine the light of love on everything, and that's the dance. We have the choice. We have the free choice. You know, we can choose. You know, life is a joke. Yes, and we have free choice. We get to decide whether or not we laugh. So listen, anybody out there, if you want to be miserable, go right ahead. Whatever makes you happy.
Mm-hmm. Be miserable and be happy. All right, what about consciousness? What is consciousness?
Well, let's see. What is consciousness? Consciousness is being aware that we are the creator's creation, created to create.
Okay.
We know
okay,
that we
slowly.
Are. Consciousness is self-awareness. We are aware that we are the creator's creation, created to create.
Mm.
That may not make sense, but no, really, the thing is that we are co-creators of our reality. I mean, now, This happens a lot. People ask me all the time, Swami, do we create our own reality? Mm-hmm. And I tell them, well, you know, we used to, but now it's mostly made in China.
Okay, one quick thought that I want to throw out to you, because you have this thought about mystics. There's a lot of mystics in the world. Can you tell us about that? Then we'll take a break and continue the conversation. Tell us about the mystics in the world.
Oh, well, I've actually brought it down to two kinds of mystics, the optimists and the pessimists. Yes, the pessimists believe that they're more in touch with reality, but the optimists are happier and live longer. Pessimists have been telling us, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, like Chicken Little. The optimists say, no, look, it only looks that way because we are ascending.
Which one am I? I don't know. I think I'm both.
I call myself a realistic optimist. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people out there who say that the glass is 95% empty. I say, no, it's not. It's 5% full.
That's right. It's all about how you're looking at it. So we're going to take a break, Swami. When we come back, got some more thoughts I want to run through you. And then we want to invite Steve to join us and hear what he has to say about what's happening in our body and how we create our reality and take the power back from China and release the humor and release the humoroids, because we need all the help we can get. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. Swami Biyandananda is in the house. I wonder how he would interpret that. He's in the house going around saying, wake up, laughing, wake up, laughing. WakeUpLaughing.com is his website. We're going to take website address. We're going to take a break, come back with Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And Celeste has a connection with Steve. So maybe Steve will come back for a minute. But let's take a break. And if you've forgotten what you're listening to, here's a quick reminder.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you too, my brother. So, ladies and gentlemen, feel free to call in and share a joke with us. Even if it's not funny, we'll laugh. How about that? I dare you to call in. 347-426-3346. I dare you.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
And I am free to sing. I don't care what you say. Oh, Lord. I'm free to laugh at myself, to lighten up and levitate. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. My guest is Swami Biyandananda. We are getting ready for this segment called Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And Celeste has something to say or question for Swami. So, Celeste and Swami. Celeste, meet Swami. So, yeah, y'all meet each other anyway.
Hello, Swami. This is my second time talking to you. And I'm so happy because I didn't fall this time out of my chair. But I am laughing very hard. So I want to thank you for that. But here's my question. I don't know if Swami did this or Steve. But I attended a school. I graduated from School Without Walls in Washington, D.C., which is an alternative high school. And I understand that you did some work around free high school. I was wondering if the two schools were connected or if School Without Walls started because of your work with other teachers during that time in the 70s.
Well, thank you. This is Steve. Yeah, the Swami had nothing to do with that. This was, I started a program called New Educational Project. It was in Washington, D.C. It was in 1968 to 1970. It was one of the first alternative high schools, or as the Swami would call it, alternative, because we natives really need to be altered. I also taught at McKinley High School.
Really?
My career in 4th and T Northeast at McKinley High School, taught there for a year. And then I said, why do I want to be doing this to kids when I didn't like it when they did it to me? And I had the opportunity to work at an alternative school. We based out of the Friends Meeting House on Florida Avenue in the city. And we actually had some fairly well-known people send their kids to our school. We had Stuart Udall, who was Secretary of Interior under LBJ.
Mm-hmm.
He sent his daughter to the school. We had a summer program where George McGovern's son attended our summer program. So we were right in the middle of all of the D.C. stuff at a very interesting time. And where did you go? What school did you go to, Celeste?
I graduated from the School Without Walls, and it was created in 1971. And actually,
after
it was
ours. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, so I was wondering if there was I'm thinking that perhaps that free education, the alternative piece, that you guys probably inspired them, they followed the Parkway program. So I'm going to say thank you to you for that because I'm very proud of my alternative education.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, it's interesting you say that because we actually tried to start a School Without Walls, but the ceiling fell in on us.
Yeah, you got to be quick.
I'm glad you guys figured out how to pull this one off. Where was your School Without Walls? Where were these walls not located, Celeste? I'm curious. What part of town?
Yeah, you're going to love this. We were located on George Washington University campus, and they actually renovated the school. So we had access to going to college campuses, taking classes. You know, we had to, you know, take a test to make sure that we could handle it. But we had access to the college setting, and we had internships where, you know, instead of, like, you know, being bored in class, which is actually how the alternative school started, it was for students who could not adjust in traditional classrooms. And so I always like to say that you had the juvenile delinquents and the goody-goody kids all mixed up in one. I just, you know, didn't like rules. So So instead of taking an English class, I got to intern at the Washington Post and learn how newspapers work and doing stuff like that. So, you know, School Without Walls in Washington, D.C., there are just lots of opportunities to learn and grow. And I know it's a little stricter now than when I went to school, but it's still out there. It's still happening. So I want to say thank you because you probably inspired them to remove the walls and let us get an education.
Yes, we were dealing with kids at that point when we started our school. We were dealing with kids who were bored by school, who had outgrown the the school and their regular school. And when they came to our school, at least the first year, most of the kids really were very self-motivated, and every one of them wanted to go to college ended up at the school of their choice because they really learned how to learn for themselves. There's a book about our school, which you may still be able to get on Amazon or at the library. It's called No Particular Place to Go, Making of a Free High School, and that tells our whole story.
Oh, I will definitely be checking that out. And now you get to see my School Without Walls blending come together, because I do have a gift for you hidden within my celestial moment with Celeste Morgan. You probably know this already, but I'm going to just act like you don't, okay?
Thank you very
much. And Steve, thank you for showing up. We're going to do Celestial Moment, come back with Swami real quick, and then come back to Steve. If you guys can catch up with that, you're a better woman than I am. All right, go ahead with your Celestial Moment, Celeste.
Wow. I'm not touching that. Let me get right to it. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day is 11. Now notice how it's the 22nd, and 11 is running. That's a beautiful number dance between master numbers, so we need to celebrate it today. So if you happen to be having a birthday today, like Betty Pagese, then your cup is truly running over. 11, the master number, is your lesson number all year. 11 is most intuitive of all numbers, representing illumination and a channel to the subconscious. 11 is also the moose in medicine cards, which offers the gift of a healthy, vibrant self-esteem. And for good measure, let's add in a little about 22. Gordon Spalward, one of my favorite numerologists, calls the number 22 the number of ascended masters in alignment with the energy of Buddha and Jesus and Gandhi, among others. The 11th letter of the alphabet is K, and words like kindred, knowledge, and kindness connect us to the magical power of 11. Now today we're going to put the spotlight on how 11 shows up as the strength card in tarot. Now remember, I often say that strength can be 11 or 8, depending on your tarot deck. In Mother Peace Tarot, it shows up as number 11. And the focal point on this card is a certain goddess, also known as the Bride. Brigitte is known as Keeper of the Flame. She is known for her associations with healing, poetry, and smithcraft. Nicknamed the Bright Goddess, she is our example of the gentle use of strength, as she is nude, surrounded in a forest by scary animals that she has made her friends. She holds out a small flame to a wolf. It is her ego. She surrenders so that the storyteller wolf teacher may bring her back stories. She has tamed her shadows and can sit freely, revealing an open heart and a balanced solar plexus chakra located at the navel. Funny, that's where the belly laugh comes from. The color is yellow. The element is fire. When it is balanced, we have access to personal power, will, knowledge, laughter, and mental clarity. It helps us maintain our humor, optimism, and self-control. Laughter is the medicine for reclaiming your power if you're feeling a little low. Wake up laughing and tap into your super strength, trusting the process and your right to be here. Be a master when you remember. No one can hold down someone who is full of joy. All is well. And that's the story of 11, told through the strength card in Mother Peace Tarot. I'll see you on Wednesday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you can't control somebody who's laughing to you. Yeah, thank you, Celeste. That was beautiful.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Get back to work.
No, there was a lot of wisdom in that. I really like that, because there is no way to, when in the midst of laughing, that is really the only thing happening. It gives you the perspective, and it is contagious. You know, it's like loaves and fishes. One person can enter the room laughing, and 300 people can be laughing on top of that, and it only adds to the energy.
Mm-hmm.
What's also interesting is that Celeste mentioned the navel. Yes? And actually, that is the key to really dealing with seriousness, because what happens is, when you've heard the term tight ass, when you unloose the navel, when you unscrew that a couple of notches, you know, you become less tight. It's a nice view.
Okay, Celeste, I'm out.
I'm out.
Okay, bye. Good idea.
Mommy, I'm at work. My goodness. Love you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, God. A couple of things I want to, thoughts that I want to share with you, Swami, and then we'll bring in Steve. The first one is, what's your thought on meditation and forgiveness?
Well, I think that everybody should meditate every day, and if you don't, you should forgive yourself.
I wasn't expecting that one. That's a good one. That's right. I mean,
That's what I'm talking about.
But it's really that simple.
Isn't it that simple? Because look, how many people out there, they think that there's something good that they're supposed to do, and they don't do that, and then they beat themselves up for not doing that. That is what is called a racket, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so when you bust the racket, and laugh at yourself because it's so silly. It's so silly. Who is watching you to make sure you meditate? Is it Santa Claus? You know? Who knows if you've been bad or good? What is the difference?
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of meditation is to get to that space of quieting the mind. Now, a lot of people, there are quicker ways to do this. I mean, one of the things that I teach is a simple three-word mantra to release the grip of the ego. You want to learn it?
Mm-hmm.
Goes like this. Ego, egoing, egon. That's all.
Ego, egoing, ego. Okay, got it.
That's all. That's the ego. And then the other thing, if you want to do it without words completely, is to use mental floss. Just put your hands about 6 inches from either ear and just go back and forth very, very gently. And 4 out of 5 transcendentists say that that is the way to prevent truth decay.
Okay. Get out all the plaque between the ear. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Oh, that's right, because thought particles get caught between the ears, you know. that's what causes truth decay. So this dislodges the illogical logic that we mistake for logical logic.
Right, got it. I'm clear. Okay.
I can see you've been flossing today, I can tell.
I've been flossing. I've been doing mental flossing. Okay, before you go, because you bring laughter and joy, we may bring it back towards the end, but you bring so much joy and laughter to people, Swami. What is the secret to happiness?
Wow, that is a very, very important question, because we live in a society where we are told that we have to pursue happiness. And that happiness is very tricky. It seems to outrun most human beings who are pursuing it. But the real secret is that we already have happiness inside of us, that is a state that we can achieve without any outside circumstances. And because we live in a consumer-oriented society where we are taught we have to buy something, we have to have something that we don't already have in order to be happy, and then we learn to envy other people who might be happier than we are. And, of course, Sigmund Freud called that happiness envy. You know, somebody's happiness might be bigger than mine, yes? And so what we want to do is recognize that happiness is an inside job. I talked about it earlier, about how the very simple looking at yourself in the morning and just turning your mouth upward in a smile changes your body chemistry. You know, why should it be so simple? I mean, it's so ridiculously simple, but that's the secret.
Mm-hmm. It is simple. That's what it is. It's right here. We got it. For those who are just joining us, or those listening to the archive, I just want to remind you, my guest is Swami Beyondananda, and His twin brother is going to be in the house in 2 seconds, Steve Berriman. And welcome all of you, those of you that I haven't acknowledged. Thank you for being here. Lady D's in the house. And we welcome and say thank you to the Within Radio listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of this experiment called Life. And, it's time to bring Steve, because Swami just talked about the body chemistry. I want to find out more about that. So, Swami, can we have a quick chat with Steve, please?
Put him right on. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, here I am. We don't want any dead air. I really, this is, I love what you're doing, Day. This is really fun. I'm listening to both ends of it, and I just love what you're up to. So thanks for doing the show.
Thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. I receive it. And, this is what it's about. We get to create that reality and bring more good news rather than the other story. We tell our own visions, right? Instead of them telling a lie.
Television.
But anyway.
turn off the TV and television instead, as the Swami would say. And that's what we bring. That we bring our own vision to the world. That's what makes us unique. And it's so interesting. We talked about alternative education earlier. And not much has changed in the 40 years since Celeste went to her school and I taught at mine. In that, there is still this paradigm idea that there's something wrong with playing and that children have to be prepared for something. That they have to get serious, that they have to compete with one another, when actually, when we are being who we are here to be, there is no such thing as competition. And so what would it be like if a school actually took it upon itself to help each individual child find their special gift and genius, which every one of us has? What would that be like?
Yeah, indeed. But here's a question I want to ask you, because I've read books, I've seen things on YouTube, on Facebook. There are people who actually go along with what you're talking about, but how come we haven't evolved to that place?
Well, I think that we are at the point where, necessity is the mother of invention. And if you look at the economic system, the House of Credit Cards economic system that fell apart several years ago, the reason why there were so many people selling futures and derivatives of derivatives is that so much of our resource has been already used up and monetized. And we've been living a very unrealistic existence based on how we've been using the things on the planet, including people. That, we here in this particular society, whatever our economic class, we're still at the top of the heap compared to how at least a billion or two or a billion and a half people live on the planet. And we have the resource. We have the wherewithal. Now we need the awarewithal. And we are at the point, as Bruce and I point out in Spontaneous Evolution, where we're coming to the point where there is no turning back. There are points in evolution. In the history of evolution, there's what's been called punctuated equilibrium, which means that things will go on for a long, 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 long time. And then suddenly something will change the environment. The great extinctions that we've had have been largely due to debris from outer space. It changed everything, and then things had to evolve rather rapidly. At this point, we're dealing with, because human beings have become so influential on the planet and the ecosystem, we're now at the point where we have to begin to deal with the debris from inner space, the thoughts, beliefs that are obsolete, that have outlived their uselessness in a certain regard, the belief in separation, the belief in survival of the fittest, which now science is showing us is thrival of the fittingest, that those organisms that make a contribution to the environment are those that thrive, and those that don't simply fall by the wayside. So we are at a crisis point and also an opportunity point. And as the Swami would say, the reason why it's happening now is because it's too late to have happened sooner. So now is the time. Too late to do it sooner. So this is
That's
this
right.
is what's going on. We call it an evolutionary upwising because people are waking up and wising up, and they're wising up to the illusion. You know, these have been called apocalyptic times, and the official original definition of the word apocalypse, it meant the lifting of the veils. And so, as we notice, because of how communication can occur so rapidly, the veils are being lifted, both from the awful truth and also from the awesome opportunity. Just as we are now learning toxic secrets about our government and financial systems and so on, we are also having the veils lifted from these spiritual practices that have been kept in protective custody for millennia. You know, we're now able to have access to, you know, the Hopi prophecy that, you know, the native peoples have said, listen, all of the stuff that we've kept to ourselves, we're going to give it to the world because the world needs it. The practices of Qigong, of shamanic practices, of Vedic practices, of the Kabbalah, these are all now accessible. You know, when you know they were not accessible 30 years ago, but they're here for us to use. And that's the good news. We now have been given the inner tools to undergo this extraordinary evolution that's necessary.
Yes. It's funny, as I listen to you, I'm thinking of the Western world called, you know, we say we are the developed country or developed countries, and then the other country who we think like countries in Africa, not Africa as a country. You know, we say developing. Maybe it's because I used to really be annoyed by that, but I think it may be a good idea that countries in Africa are called the developing country because in the process of developing, there's room for growth. But if you're already developed, your choice is really to, you know, self-destruct. And I think we're waking up to that. Technologically, we're so advanced. And I always think what's happening here, we become to relive or rehearse the Atlantis story, that we get so advanced technologically that we're not going inward, that we're not connecting with one another. And as you said, there's a rising up happening. So it's actually, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the change that's happening. And we've got to keep moving forward.
What you're talking about is that, you know, part of the Western civilization, we've been the smart rat. You know, we know how to run the maze. We know how to manage this very, very linear technological world, which we're not managing. We're failing to manage it. And what's been missing is something that the indigenous societies had intrinsically, and that is a connection with the sacred, the connection with that which is enduring. Before we were here, like the native peoples have, seven generations back, seven generations forward, when they make a decision, how is it going to reflect back seven generations? How is it going to reflect forward seven generations? And when Western civilization became more secularized and the fabric of religion, not that I'm a big fan of religion, although the original meaning of religion, religare, is that which connects us to the infinite and connects all things together. And so we don't have anything that connects us. The sacred has been missing from the center of our secular society. So what I'm very excited about are all of the ways that we are becoming aware of restoring the sacred and being in the heart, gathering in communities in the heart of things, gathering human beings together, millions of human beings to meditate at the same time, to chant at the same time, to pray at the same time. And what this does is it reminds us that there's something that transcends both religion and non-religion that is that which has no words, that which is beyond words. And we in Western civilization have to begin to have respect for both the pre-rational and the post-rational ways of experiencing the world. You know, both the shaman and the avatar.
Mm. Mm. I want to ask you this before we release you, because you said you talked about this, or Swami did, about the body chemistry. And, you know, we talk about love that within, forgiveness that within, happiness that within. And we all have a body if we're on this planet anyway. And there's so much going on. Sometimes we're dealing with the pain, we're dealing with this. It runs in my family. And in your book, and your co-author, Bruce Lipton, talked about the body chemistry. Can you talk about the body chemistry and the power that we have to create the body chemistry so that we can heal ourselves?
You know, it's very interesting. One of the great things I learned in the process of working on spontaneous evolution with Bruce, you know, he gives these examples that would seem to contradict what we, you know, what linear science would say about how our thoughts and beliefs control our chemistry. We seem to think that most of us have learned in the current paradigm, that we're basically biochemical machines, cause and effect, and so on. But there are certain things that happen that indicate that there are fields, our thought fields, our feeling fields, our belief fields, actually impact and override what the chemical tendencies are. And the most obvious example is the example of the placebo. When drug companies are testing drugs, they want to see, well, what effect is this drug having? And they use the placebo as a sugar pill, which has no effect whatsoever, and yet generally, about one-third of the time, people get well or have a change in their physiology for the better based on just ingesting the sugar pill that they believe is going to make them well. So, of course, it's the sugar pill industry it doesn't have as much influence as the drug industry, and so drug industry wants to be able to sell drugs, to produce things, and keep selling them and selling them and selling them, rather than empower ourselves to ask the question, how do I activate the placebo effect in my own body? What is it? How do I activate the power of belief to override some of the physiological conditions and situations? And that's why energy medicine, there's many, many aspects of energy medicine. There's organizations of groups of people who are a number of different practices that actually activate the energetic fields of the body, whether it's the electromagnetic field, like the Qigong and Tai Chi and Chinese medicine, or whether it's the field of beliefs. There are many, many techniques that are emerging now that allow us to deal with the beliefs that are behind our physical condition. So we are really at the beginning of this conversation. We are where the Wright brothers were in 1903. We're just learning how to navigate through this, and there's a lot of development to be done. So we're at a very exciting time, because that's what people are beginning to ask that question. How can we override the body chemistry? Because we are being subject to a lot of pathogens that are new. We're subjected to a lot of these environmental stresses. And so what do we do to cultivate that on the inside? I've been practicing various forms of Qigong for a number of years, and I can say that changing the energy field through that particular technique has worked for me. Other people have used yoga. Other people have there are things that I don't even know about that are these techniques that people have been developing, some of them ancient, some of them modern, that allow us to transcend the body chemistry and work on the field of beliefs, thoughts, feelings.
Yeah, you and Bruce Lipton are really giving us practical tools to what Swami said, which I can't quote, but the whole thing about we are created to create by the creator, that phrase, I have to listen to it again to get it right, but we are really recognizing
it. Yeah, we are the creator's creation, created to create.
Indeed, indeed. And some people think that's a big responsibility. You're damn right it is. So create.
Right.
Be responsible.
And that brings us to another thing that Swami recommends, that we need to evolve from children of God to adults of God.
We got to grow up and mature in consciousness. I like that.
That's right.
That is so
that's
true.
Right.
But we should never forget to laugh. And so, yes. Steve and Swami Beyond Ananda, thank you for your work, for who you are, for just your energy. I mean, you've really activated all kind of feelings inside of me. My stomach is hurting. My chest feels like I've been lifting weight. So thank you for your work. And we definitely look forward to having you back on Life Conversations Radio.
I love being here. Thank you. Looking forward to seeing you on the outer net sometime.
That's right. That's right. And before you go, I was going to say, if there is anything else you want to share with our listeners, upcoming event or anything that you want our listeners to know, feel free to share it.
Well, yes. Definitely visit me at Wake Up Laughing. You can sign up for the Beyond the News, which is a monthly newsletter, and also Notes from the Trail, which is a political spiritual blog. And the Swami tours. The Swami is, he goes around the country doing, we actually do a weekend called Wake Up Laughing, Wise Up Loving, my wife Trudy and I. And it really is a lot like what we just did. The Swami does this cosmic comedy performance. And then I do Sunday morning talks often at churches. And in the afternoon, we do a play shop to help people put this stuff in their body and learn some of the distinctions of healing humor that brings people together. So if you're interested, send me a note at Wake Up Laughing and maybe we'll come to your town.
Indeed. WakeUpLaughing.com. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Swami Beyond Ananda. And look forward to having you back on Life Conversations Radio.
Okay. As Swami would say, namaste and namaskope. Bye.
Namaste and namaste go. Bye. Oh, wow, what a show. I really enjoyed that. And we want to keep the laughter going. You know, and this next clip I'm going to play actually ties in what Swami Beyond Ananda sharing with us. You know, we get so serious about ourselves. And if we just surrender, if we just take the journey inwards, you know, and ask the real questions. You know, we all have Dennis the Menace inside of us. All of us, I don't care how holy you are. That's right. If you listen to this show, there's a Dennis the Menace inside of you. Now it's time to set Dennis the Menace free. Or maybe Denise the Menace inside of the females and Dennis and the guys. How about that? So here's something that a guy faced himself. He asked himself, what is reality? And I won't give too much away. But we'll be right back here listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show, 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. We'll be right back.
Hey, Moody. I kind of realized that that everything about me is a fraud and a fake, and it doesn't exist. And I've realized this very much in your presence, where it's there's this burning and there's this discomfort. And I've realized that I don't exist. And no matter what I do to try and create this Dennis, it just doesn't work, you know? Mm. There's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there.
Well, yeah. You've gotten rid of Dennis the Menace. And where is this laughing coming from?
Ha 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 everything's shaking and laughing, you know. So it's just seeing that is all. So that's my report to you.
Yes, and many people want to know what it means if you say, I, Dennis, don't exist. Because if you say this anywhere else, they'll lock you up. Is a special place because you can say things like this and you're in good company. This is a secret you will leave here.
Don't tell anybody you don't exist.
You don't tell your boss. Your wages don't exist.
Oh, God.
Yes, spirit of truth.
Oh, dear.
Spirit of truth will get you in trouble.
How can we carry on after this?
Muji, you try to figure out how you're going to carry on. I'm going to carry on because I carry on. That's the way I carry on. Yes, that's Muji, M-O-O-J-I. You can find him on YouTube. And, I mean, if you actually see that gathering on video, it's even more funny if you can even imagine. because, you know, this guy sat in front of the teacher and told him, you know, what he discovered, that he doesn't exist, and he started laughing, as you can hear. And then before you know, everybody else is laughing. But what blew me away while trying to watch it through tears and laughter were people sitting there just straight-faced, just like, what y'all laughing at? I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Tanya would tell you. Tanya said when she first started listening to my show, she was like, yeah, great show, but why does it laugh so much? I don't know. I just feel this joy. And, you know, find a reason to laugh in your life. It is very, very important. Set yourself free. If you can't do it by yourself, if you can't laugh at your own jokes, find a nice movie, a drama. Go on YouTube. Find something to just make you laugh and set yourself free. It is so healing. Swami talked about it. You've heard about it. They say laughter is good medicine. You know, I used to say when I make my transition from this physical plane, I want to just go and say, oh, I'm going to bed and say, wow, that was great. But, you know, I think I'm changing that. I want to leave, say, laughing. Just laugh my way to the spirit realm and say, oh, my God, that was so funny, and being stitches. It's almost time to release the show, and I'll be back tomorrow for the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Let's talk about freedom. If you haven't set the Denise the Menace inside of you, or the Dennis the Menace inside of you free, join me tomorrow. We'll take a whole new spin on what freedom is. You know, attaining freedom, what it means, how to transcend it, and how to be part of the creation. And as Celeste mentioned at the beginning of the show, or towards the beginning of the show, we have the Play Experience every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in for that with Ambassador Sofera. I was going to say Celeste Sofera. I don't know. I was doing too much thinking. That's what it was. And then we have the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan on Sunday. There you go, 8 p.m. Eastern. And tomorrow I'm going to have Reverend Deborah Johnson join me. She's going to stop by to talk about a conference that's taking place in Atlanta. She's coming to Atlanta, and the conference is called Creating Change. She's going to talk more about that, and we're interviewing Deborah Johnson in February, and I'm excited she's coming to Atlanta. I'm going to get to see her. And what else do I need to tell you? It's done. Nothing else needs to be said. I just want to tell you, if you don't know it already, that I love you. Come here. Don't be looking straight. Come closer. Come here. Hug your computer. Hug your phone. Come closer. I'm hugging you. I love you. Don't look away. Look at my eyes. Come on. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. I surely do. And I want to invite you to be love. It is the essence of your being. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. And allow the love to flow in and out of you. Be loved. Find somebody to love you. Talk to somebody who you know loves you. And yes, we say, well, you got to love yourself first before you find the right person to love you. That's true, but sometimes it's not either or, really. It's both and. Sometimes if you can't love yourself, you need somebody who can just hold you and tell you how much they love you and tell you why they love you. And they go down the list and say, most of all, I love you simply because you are. Simply because you exist. You are love in action. So surrender to love. Allow yourself to be loved. And remember that you are the current of energy called love. This is Makua Ray. And this song is called Tapped In. I'm inviting you to tap into yourself, to tune into yourself, and connect with your intuition. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Wow, what a great show. We created it together, you know. We co-produced it. And thank you for those of you listening on the archive. This is Makua Ray, Tap Team. You can find Makua on Facebook. I'm out of here. I look forward to our conversation tomorrow. Makua Ray, MikuaKRAI. Facebook or just Google him. Tap in. Tapped in. I'm out. Peace and blessings.
I just got tapped in. been there all the while, patiently waiting for me to open up my heart and lighten up my load. I'm getting grounded in earth so my soul don't explode. Yes, love is a current of energy. Come on, tap into this frequency. It flows through you, it flows through me. Life from the sun is who we be. There's no static in the vibe. On rays of sunshine we ride. All dramatic circumstance is cleared away when we join the dance. In the moment you will see. Breathing deep electricity, the channel stellar cosmic sounds as an instrument I found there. Love is a current of energy. Come on, tap into this frequency. It flows through you, it flows through me. Light from the sun is who we be. Oh. Be tapping, 'cause that's what's happening. It feels so good to be tapped in, 'cause that's the only thing that's happening. Oh, oh, oh. Love is a current of energy. It flows through you, it flows through me. Light from the sun is who we be. Thank you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.